Well, now Hannah's very kindly going to give us the reading from Philippians.
The reading is from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
I don't know about you, but I wonder, I look out at our world and I think these last few weeks have been not very good. I've been shocked at what's going on. Putin's still bombing Ukraine, and there's harm there. There doesn't seem to be a real strong peace in the Middle East. There are still Palestinian marches taking place. There is economic and political instability. We've seen that already in the elections last week in Wales, and a complete turnaround of what's happening. And I don't know about how many of you are worried about the budget coming up in November, because yes, if you read the press, you know, they're going after pensioners. How many of you are pensioners? There we are. Do I need to say no more? And there is so much going on. There are the far-right marches, there's the left as well. And it was really interesting that I was just having a conversation with a minister in one of the most deprived areas of the country, where the whole of the community was St. George's flags. And she felt she wanted to make a stance against just St. George's, so she put up some other country flags in her window. They weren't Palestinian flags, they weren't Jewish flags, they were just other country flags. She got so much abuse as a minister, and they urinated all over her wall. And this is the society in which we, as Christians, are living in. And I felt really challenged, and I have done over the last few weeks about this, even churches. Some churches are taking a theological stance to the right or to the left. And that isn't what God's calling us to. God's calling us to focus on Jesus, on his love and his grace, that we, with the love and grace and the peace of Jesus in our heart, that we can make a difference in this crooked generation. And as I was thinking, praying about this, and part of my study was going through the fruit of the Spirit, and I came across the fruit of goodness, and it just reminded me of the goodness of God. But in that passage, it's also it links kindness and goodness. And I'm trying to distinguish between the two. And I thought, before we talk about the goodness of God, I just want to make sure that we're clear what the difference is between goodness and kindness. So goodness is a more encompassing term that refers to an overall person's character. It's their desire to do what is just and right, like honesty, integrity, and righteousness. In the context of the fruit of the Spirit, the goodness could be seen as God's own goodness working in and through us, so that we have this moral sense in our hearts. This is what we want to be, is to be good and to be nice. Sometimes, of course, that will not always be nice to somebody else, because, for example, you might exhibit goodness confronting a friend about harmful behavior. They might not see that as good, but you know that that is what God is trying to do. Kindness, however, is the outworking of the goodness. It's more specific expression of goodness. Focus on how a person treats others. It's about being more friendly and considerate and compassionate. It's having that caring heart and doing something about it, bringing relief to suffering and joy. An example will be how to help someone in need, speaking kind words or showing empathy or understanding. In essence, goodness is the foundation of moral character, while kindness is the manifestation of that goodness in action. Are we all clear about that? We've got the difference between the two. Right, that's fine. Now we can get into the message proper. How many of you actually think we live in a moral and corrupt generation?
Moral and corrupt.
Moral and corrupt generation, yeah. How many of you think of our politicians are moral and corrupt? Now, I'm going to read an article to you, and I want you to say, I want you to be honest, do you think this is true in any shape or form? The children now live in luxury, they have bad manners, contempt for authorities, they show disrespect for their elders, they love to chatter in places of exercise. Children are now tyrants, not the servants of their household. They no longer rise when elders enter the room. They contradict their parents, chatter before company, and eat up all the dainties at the table. They cross their legs and tyrannize their teachers. How many of you think that's true in any shape or form? Yeah? You'll be pleased to know that was written 400 years ago, before the birth of Jesus, by Socrates. How things have not changed. But however, we do live in a world that is so celebrates self-interest and personal gain. I mean, all the sort of things have gone through our politicians. It doesn't matter which party, they're all been doing lots of different things for self-gain. And then we get taken in by social media and fake news and the trolls. And how many people I've heard that have left social media because of the abuse that they get? Because we live in this corrupt, horrible generation. And God is calling his people to live to a very, very different standard. He wants us to live as light shining to reflect his goodness. And one of the fruit that powerfully reveals this in us is goodness. The moral integrity that benefits others. And in Philippians 2, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he shows how they live out the goodness of Christ. And the first thing to note is goodness begins with obedience to God. And that's in verses 12 to 13. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is our God who works in you both to will and work for his good pleasure. Goodness is not something that we manufacture. It flows automatically from our obedience to God. Paul doesn't say work for salvation. He says work out what God has already done in you. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to desire and do what pleases God. A goodness that is a spiritually powered moral fruit. It's really interesting that the early Methodists were encouraged to ask daily questions of themselves. John Wesley gave a list of questions they should ask of themselves every day, morning and evening, and to challenge them about their goodness and their moral heart. Are they right with God? And I looked down the list and I thought, do I give you three or four? There's 22. I'm going to give you all 22. They're all quite short, but the power of them. If we had to ask these questions every morning, every evening in ourselves, what would we think of ourselves? Are you ready for this? Okay? You ready? Firstly, am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I am? Am I honest in my acts or words, or do I exaggerate? Do I confidentially pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? Number four, can I be trusted? Number five, am I a slave to dress, friends, or work or habits? Number six, am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Number seven, did the Bible live in me today? Number eight, do I give time for it to speak to me every day? Number nine, am I enjoying prayer? 10, when did I last speak to anyone else about my faith? 11, do I pray about the money I spend? Number 12, do I get to bed on time and get up on time? Interesting on a day where the clocks have changed. And do I disobey God in anything? Do I insist upon doing something about which is my conscience makes my conscience uneasy? Am I defeated in any part of my life? Number 16, am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? Number 17, how do I spend my spare time? 18, am I proud? 19, do I thank God that I'm not like other people, especially the Pharisees who despise the publican? Number 20, is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, own, criticize, hold resentment towards, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Number 21, my hardest, do I grumble or complain constantly? Number 22, is Christ real to me today? Imagine trying to work out our moral connection with God if we use those every day. And we ask ourselves, where is God calling me to be today, even when it's hard? For goodness shows up in our willingness to follow him in obedience regardless. The second thing I want to say, goodness shines in a crooked generation. This is 14 to 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, among whom you shine as lights unto the world. My friends, this world is filled with complaining, selfish, moral compromise, and Christians are called to be different. I don't know whether you saw a few years ago, there was a program, Grumpy Old Men. I watched 10 minutes of it, the first episode, and I stopped watching it. Do you know why? Because I was agreeing with them. Yeah. And I thought, yeah, I'm being drawn into this grumpiness and this complaining about everything. And I've never seen one since. We're called to be different. Goodness is to be attractive. It refuses to retaliate. It seeks peace. It looks to bless. And Paul says we are to shine light, holding fast to the word and living blamelessly. That is the life of goodness. I'm going to give you an example now of that happening here in Chart. Do you want to hear it? Okay. I was in a cafe a few weeks ago. Elios Cafe. And I was coming to see Mike. I arrived early and I just went and had a cup of coffee in Elios Cafe. And I just sat there. And there was a grandmother and a granddaughter sat on the table next to me. And they were just chatting away. Then another lady came in and got something from the counter and stopped and had a conversation with his grandparent and daughter. And probably one of you, I don't know who, I can't remember who it was. But when that person left, the grandmother turned and said to the daughter, "That's so-and-so. She's lovely. She goes to the Baptist church. And all the folk at the Baptist church are lovely. And they're so caring and so good." And do you know, I sat there with a real sense of pride, and I didn't even know you. I didn't know this person, but the fact that someone had recognized, because someone came to the Baptist church and had a faith, there was something special and something different. And I think if we can all live in that way, that people see that, what a difference that would make. Shining as a light into the community. And we're told that light is so important. They tell us that this is a terrible time of year. People get this, seasonal affective disorder, and the sad syndrome, and they get depressed because of the darkness. And, you know, I don't know whether it helps with the changing of the hour or not. For me, I don't care. You know, I like going to work in the dark and coming back in the dark. It's just me, but for some people it really affects. But I often think about the world in which we live, and are we living in a world that's suffering from the sad syndrome? I love light, and even on a dark night, it only takes a star that makes a difference. Or when the full moon's out, and it's so bright at night, there's such a power in the light. And in a dark room, it only takes a candle to dispel the darkness. And that's what God is calling us to do, dispel the darkness. There's a lovely story of a church that was being built in on one of the Scottish Isles. It was built by the laird of the land. And the people who lived on the island always wanted a church, always wanted a chapel. They couldn't afford it, but then a new laird decided he would build it. So he built this chapel. And they all turned up on this dark evening for this service. And someone said to the laird, "But you haven't finished it." "What do you mean I haven't finished it?" He said, "There are no lanterns on the walls. It's only the lights that we've brought." And he said, "Precisely. When you turn up with your lights, it will shine brightly. If you don't bother turning up, it'll be dark, and people will know that you're not there." And what a powerful image that you are each the light bearers in this dark world that we share together. Listen to these words of Daniel. It sets up perfectly in this text. Daniel 12 says, "Those who are wise will shine like the brightness in the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like stars forever." You and I are called to shine as lights. You see how Paul has got this theme. It's all to do without complaining and without disputing, that you feel convicted right there, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault, he says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generations. Among you, you shine as lights to the world, holding to the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And goodness is so powerful. It stands out in the contrast of the evil around us. One act of goodness can make a difference. But not just on Sundays. Every day of the week, our goodness should be revealed. And it's noticed when it doesn't. It'll catch you out. In one of my churches, I've had three churches before I came into this role, we had a professor. And everyone used to, on a Sunday, almost bow to this professor. He's the only professor we had in the church. And everyone thought a lot of this professor. And on a Sunday, he was great. He was a lovely Christian gentleman. He was a professor. He had of dentistry. And I remember going to the dental school one day. And I dropped his name into conversation. I wish I hadn't. What an awful person to work for. And it really made me think about, our daily lives, about, what do people see on a Sunday? Is that what they see during the week? I remember one preacher saying that, if you smile in the joy of meeting together on a Sunday, please tell your face about it when you get on a bus on a Monday. But goodness, you see, the third thing is goodness results in witness. And we need to be aware of that. And even if I am to be poured out, it says, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And witness is so important. I heard this story a few weeks ago, and I just want to share this with you. It was, and I think this is particularly pertinent. There's this lady driving along. She was just driving along. She was desperate to get to a place. She had a destination to get to. She was in a rush. And she was following this car, and they were coming up to a traffic light. And you know when it goes like amber, and you're not sure whether you're going to go through it or not? She thought you could, but the person in front of her thought, no, I'll stop. This irritated her. So she was shouting at him, beeping the horn, making hand gestures outside of her window. The lights turned green. The person in front of her was obviously distracted on the radio or the telephone or something, but didn't go straight away. And eventually he went, and she went through on the amber. She was furious. And again, she was beeping or flashing her lights, not realizing behind her there were some blue lights. The police pulled her in. Asked her to get in the back of the car. And she thought this was an overreaction. All I was trying to get through the lights. I'd felt that, just get in the back of the car. She got in the back of the car, and they did what they normally do. They asked for the driving license to prove your identity. So she had a driving license. And again, she was saying, why have you pulled me in? She said, we think the car's stolen. What makes you think that? Well, we've seen your rude gestures, we've seen you flashing the lights and beeping the horns, and on the back of the car, you have the IGTHOS badge and also Jesus loves you. we think it might be stolen. You will be caught out. I'm always very conscious when I'm driving, and I can get grumpy inside, but I try not to show it. We will get caught out. Witness is so, so important. Goodness isn't about being nice. It's about a life poured out for others, like Jesus. That act of kindness that results in the goodness, that you have a heart that can make a huge difference. And did you know that goodness is contagious? Have you ever noticed that? It's contagious. A few years ago, we went over to Vancouver for a 3 weeks holiday, and my wife, who needs her glasses broke. And we couldn't. I couldn't fix them. I tried. I couldn't fix them. So we went into Vancouver, and we saw this this optician's. Oh my goodness, the glasses were expensive in there. It was one of those designer opticians, where the cheapest glasses I could see were $1,000. And I was thinking, I can't find anywhere else. I'm praying to God. Thank God, I got a credit card with a limit. And I went in and said, excuse me, do you mind if you could fix these glasses? We're on holiday. I explained the story. She said, oh yeah, it won't take long. So he went away. 15 minutes later, came back with the glasses fixed. And I said, how much do I owe you? She said, oh, nothing. Do a good deed for someone. What? She said, go and buy a homeless person a meal. Do something else. I thought, what a wonderful... That's what we did. Went and did that. And hopefully they would pass that on as well. Goodness is contagious. And I don't know whether you know, when someone lets me out of a car junction, you know, then you think, oh, I'm going to do that to the next person. It's contagious. And God is asking us to be good in the world. And let the goodness share. That it might be contagious. It might affect other people's lives, that they also might want to be good. Then that they might want to ask the question, why did you do it? And sometimes it's the smallest things. You don't have to do very much. It makes all the difference. We were out on a walk one day, and we went into this cafe, we got our drinks, and this other couple had obviously been on a walk, and he wanted a latte, and she wanted something else, so I think it was a hot chocolate. And when they said how much it was going to cost, they got all the pennies out, and they decided they could afford two black coffees. And so they ordered two black coffees. Well, the lady came and gave us our drinks, and said, just give them what they want, we'll pay for it. It's not much extra, it's £1. It worked out about £1. Oh my goodness, you thought we'd given them the world. Then they had this drink. I said, why did you do that? And I said, well, we're Christians, you know, and you needed it. And it's only £1, isn't it? And they were just so grateful. And I hope that might have had an impact, that they'll always remember that. Very little things can make the difference. Very little things. But we're called to be good. Pouring out goodness might seem insignificant, but it can mean a lot more. When we live out goodness, we are actually participating in God's mission to bring everlasting joy and presence, that your little expression might change the world. You never, never know. Remember this guy called Billy Graham? He's a bit of a lad, wasn't he? And, I wonder how many people came to faith through Billy Graham's ministry. Do you know how it started? Billy Graham was with a group of lads on the corner of a lane, just messing about. A farmer was driving by with a pickup truck going to an evangelical rally. And the farmer thought, I'll just stop and I'll give these boys a lift. Go on, lads. Come on, we've got a rally to go to. And they got in the back of the truck and Billy Graham came to faith. One little act might seem insignificant at the time, changed so many people's lives. You just never, never know. But are you willing to be poured out for yourself, for others? Sometimes it's costly, but it's Christ-like and eternally rewarding. Let us live as people filled with the Holy Spirit, displaying this goodness, obeying God when it's difficult, shining in this world of compromise, and rejoicing to live in the privilege of living for others. When we live this way in a broken world, we will indeed shine. Shall we pray? Father God, we just pray that we may just listen to what you have to say through the words of Paul to the church of Philippi, that we can seek goodness. We can see goodness that begins with the obedience, that we may indeed be obedient to you, that we may give our lives fully into you, serving you, knowing full well that that goodness will shine in a corrupt generation. And we pray, Lord, that we may find those small acts that we might be able to do, whether it's just opening a door or offering a kind word or sending a card or just lifting someone up, a phone call to see how they are. Little acts of goodness that might make a difference in this generation. So these goodness will result in joyful witness that others will come to know you through us, that we might reveal you in our actions. Lord, we pray that your Spirit will today cultivate a fruit of goodness in our lives, that we may find throughout this week, be open, who can we bless today with the goodness of Christ. Meet with us, we pray, for we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.